There is good news today regarding COVID-19. As of April the 18th, all Virginians over the age of 16 are eligible to get the vaccine. This podcast was recorded on April the 13th, 2021. Please continue to check with the CDC and the FDA for the latest information on vaccines. So, a quick tutorial is definitely in order. While each type of vaccine works in a different way, they all prompt an immune response so your body remembers how to fight the virus in the future. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Stevens, epidemiologist and associate chair of the Division of Infectious Diseases at VCU Health, about the differences in the COVID-19 vaccines. You're listening to Healthy with VCU Health. I'm Tony Martinez. Dr. Stevens, a pleasure to have you with us today to help us understand these amazing vaccines, the result of Operation Warp Speed. First of all, thank you for being with us.
Hey, Tony, I appreciate being here. I appreciate the invitation to be here to discuss this. So, Tony, I'm an adult infectious diseases provider. So I'm an infectious disease physician, and I have a couple of different roles. One, I'm an associate hospital epidemiologist. I direct our antibiotic stewardship program. Also, I direct our travel clinic. And I've seen a lot of patients with COVID-19 over the past year. In fact, I think I saw the very first patient who had COVID-19 at VCU. I've also had a role in helping to create and manage our local treatment guidelines with my team. So those are my sort of roles in a nutshell.
Well, there are currently three COVID-19 vaccines authorized for use by the FDA, as you know. Let's break down some of the differences between them. What are the major differences between Pfizer, the first one that was approved, Moderna, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines?
So there are some differences. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines both involve two separate shots that are separated by 3 and 4 weeks respectively. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a single shot, so one shot and you're done. They were tested in their clinical trials at different points in the pandemic, and they used different technology in how they deliver instructions to your body to develop an immune response. So the Pfizer and Moderna utilize a technology called mRNA technology that's actually been used for several decades, but never has been deployed in a vaccine that's been widely deployed before, but the technology is certainly not new. Those deliver the instructions or the blueprint for your cells to make a immune response to the virus if you encounter it sort of directly, versus the Johnson & Johnson, which uses a more traditional vaccine approach using a harmless cold virus that can't replicate in you, can't give you that adenovirus is the virus that it uses. But they use that to deliver the instructions or that blueprint to your cells so that it can develop that immune response. The other difference is the Pfizer is currently the approval, the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine is for people who are greater or equal to 16 years of age. And Moderna and Johnson & Johnson is for 18 years and up. And those are the major differences.
Well, of course, the Pfizer vaccine was authorized for use on December 11th by the Food and Drug Administration. We've seen the efficacy statistics about these vaccines. In your estimation, is any vaccine more or less effective than the other?
So it's difficult to compare these vaccines directly in terms of their effectiveness because they were studied at different points in the pandemic. What we can say is that all of the available vaccines, the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, are all wildly effective at preventing COVID-19-related death. They all are very, very effective at that. They're very effective at preventing hospitalization as well. And then in terms of preventing disease, period, they're all very effective, with perhaps the mRNA vaccines being a little bit better in older people at preventing infections, you know, period. But they're all very effective at what you really want, which is to prevent severe illness and death from COVID-19.
And certainly the most important thing right now is getting people vaccinated. So the question comes up, will any of these vaccinations cause COVID-19 or perhaps other serious illnesses?
Tony, that's an important question, and the answer, the short answer is absolutely they cannot cause COVID-19. They cannot cause COVID-19 because they don't use COVID-19 at all in the way that they instruct your body on how to develop an immune response. So they absolutely can't cause COVID-19. Like I said, that Johnson & Johnson vaccine uses a harmless cold virus to deliver that message to your cells in terms of how to develop immunity to COVID-19. But that virus is what we call non-replicating. It means it can't reproduce in a human being. So it can't cause any kind of viral infection, period. Now, in terms of other illnesses, these vaccines have been given literally to hundreds of millions of people as of March 31st. Across the globe. And so there's a lot of safety, early safety data suggesting these are very, very, very safe vaccines. And in the clinical trials, those clinical trials involve tens of thousands of patients. And now we have real world experience in hundreds of millions of people. So short-term data, you know, really suggests these are very safe vaccines with immediate allergic reactions and that kind of stuff on the order of, say, 1 in 2.5 to 1 in around 5 million doses, which is kind of what you see with some other vaccines. And so they look wildly effective and very safe with all the data that's available to date.
And how long do you think the protection from these vaccines will last?
Well, Tony, we're recording this on April 1st, and I think it's very timely because there's been a press release from Pfizer that suggests that their vaccine still is effective at 6 months. And we just don't have data on the current vaccines sort of beyond that. And so we have some data, at least for the mRNA vaccines, suggesting at least out to 6 months, they're still very effective at preventing COVID-19 infection. Really, we just need more time. Only time will tell how long this effectiveness lasts. Will this be sort of a one vaccine series and you're done sort of thing? Or will it be you need yearly boosters, kind of like with influenza vaccine? We just don't really know yet, but the preliminary data that have just been released by press release from Pfizer certainly are comforting.
Well, in terms of just released information, we know that the AstraZeneca vaccine is about to hopefully be approved, the next COVID vaccine to be available to U.S. citizens. What can you tell us about it?
So what I can say for sure is the FDA's review process is very robust. And so if the AstraZeneca vaccine is granted emergency use authorization, you can rest assured that it's a very effective vaccine and it's a very safe vaccine. And currently, the data on short-term safety for the AstraZeneca vaccine are very compelling in terms of its safety. We need to see the data to see how effective the vaccine is, but those data suggest that it's very effective at preventing infection as well. So this would be one more vaccine in our armamentarium to combat COVID-19 and to get more people vaccinated quicker. And that would be a very good thing.
It certainly would be so important. On a personal level, I've had the vaccine both shots weeks ago and had no side effects whatsoever. I'm like probably so many people trying to get my spouse to do the same thing, and she's very tentative. What would you say to people like that? What made you decide to get the vaccine? And what do you say to people who are still hesitant?
On a personal level, I'll start there. I've seen many people with COVID-19 over the past year, many of whom have died despite our best medical efforts. And really, our ability to sort of do anything or to intervene once the infection is there and has progressed is very limited. And that has been really terrible to see. And I've seen many people in their middle age, like myself in my 40s, develop significant illness, have to be hospitalized, have to be on oxygen support, and be devastated by the illness. That's what is not captured in just mortality statistics. These folks may not die, but they may have terrible long-standing lung scarring, cardiac problems, and other issues. And really, it's been devastating to watch. And so as soon as I was eligible for vaccination, I signed up right away because I've seen what this virus does to people directly. I think the other major thing is, in the end, if we're going to move beyond COVID-19 dominating our lives, we need to develop significant population immunity. And to do that, we need vaccination, and we need vaccination widely. What I would say to people who are hesitant is there's really great information out there from sites like the CDC, from the Virginia Department of Health, trusted sources that are going to provide good information. You can read more about it. But I would acknowledge several things. One is we don't have long-term effectiveness data, just like you asked, Tony. We don't know how long these vaccines will work for. Only time is going to allow us to know that. The other thing is we don't have the longer-term safety data, but we have very robust shorter-term safety data now to 6 months with some of the vaccines that implies they're incredibly safe. So we have to acknowledge there's some limitations in our understanding, but this leads us to also acknowledging that these are incredibly effective vaccines at preventing death and also at preventing severe illness. And to some extent, they will reduce the likelihood the virus will be passed on to others. They're not 100%. People still can get the disease and pass that on to others. And I think we have to be aware of that, because even if you're protected, you could infect somebody else. And if they have no immunity, they could still get really severely ill. So that's what I would do. I start by acknowledging what we don't know, and then it opens up a conversation about what we do know and an opportunity to really discuss what people's concerns are.
And what we do know for sure, if you look at the statistics, over 560,000 American lives have been lost because of COVID-19. And it's shocking to see that that is by far, unfortunately, a worldwide leader. The United States leads in COVID-19 deaths. So for those listening, why is it so important for them to take this seriously and listen to what you have to tell us today?
The statistics that you cite really stand on their own. This has devastated the world, and in particular, the U.S. has been devastated with the number of deaths and just how many people are infected. You know, again, we're recording this on April 1st, and we've seen a 25% increase in cases over the last week, and that's with a huge chunk of the U.S. adult population having at least one vaccine. I think it's like 30%. And so even with widespread vaccine deployment, at least in a limited fashion, you're seeing cases go up. And that has to do with the fact that there's just a lot of people out there that are still not immune to the disease. And now we have variants circulating that are associated with increased transmissibility and increased mortality. And so everyone needs to do the things that we know we have to do to reduce transmission. And that's social distancing, wearing a mask, washing your hands, trying not to go out and be around others to the maximum extent possible. I think we have to acknowledge everybody is tired of the pandemic. It's been over a year. It's radically changed how we live our lives. But it's too early to say we can return to sort of normal life. It's just too early. We all just need to hang in there at least a couple more months until more people have been vaccinated and there's less risk out there.
Well, for those of you listening to this podcast, this is probably the most important information you're going to get today for sure. So, Dr. Stevens, thank you so very much for being with us to share this with everyone.
Tony, thanks for the opportunity.
Dr. Michael Stevens is the epidemiologist and associate chair of the Division of Infectious Diseases at VCU Health. Terrific information. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for being with us. We are in a race to get everyone vaccinated, and education is the key to getting a shot or two in the arm. Now, to learn more about the available COVID-19 vaccines and how you can sign up to receive one, visit vcuhealth.org/COVID-vaccine. Again, that's vcuhealth.org/COVID-vaccine. And to listen to other podcasts from VCU Health, visit vcuhealth.org/podcast. This is Healthy with VCU Health, and I'm Tony Martinez.